Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 6 tonight. We're continuing in our series in the book of Nehemiah, and I've got a few more risks that we're going to be looking at. Managing risks in dangerous times. We're not the only ones in history who have lived with danger. You understand that, I know. There have been many of God's saints through the years that have faced untold things well beyond anything we can imagine or think. And so we need to take what God has shared with us in His Word and strengthen ourselves. Dr. Bob Sr. said, you know, don't ask God to take away all your troubles. Ask for bigger shoulders to be able to carry the problems and troubles that you have. That's a different perspective, is it not, than most people? Dear Jesus, take away all my troubles. Well, you know what? Sometimes God wants to develop you. He wants to make you into something better than you are right now, and He has to take you through trouble. I don't think there's any true child of God who has not gone through an affliction or a trial that said, I've come out better. I've heard too many testimonies to that fact. Too many testimonies of how people have said, God has worked a work in my heart because of the trial I just went through. And so we need to understand that the risks that we assume in this world are part of our growth. To learn to trust our Lord more deeply, to not rest on our own wits, but rather to look to the Lord and find our strength in Him so we can grow up and mature as God's people. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 6 tonight. I'm dealing with a brand new risk tonight. The risk of being deceived. The risk of being deceived. I want to read several verses here in this chapter. Let's read the first 14 verses. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Now, any time there's a plain named Ono, you better pay attention. All right? Oh, no. Yeah. There's a problem there. Now, the Lord even put a danger sign in the name of the place so they would be alert to know this is not good. Let's read on. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me, how many times? 4 times. Boy, they're determined. They're going to get Nehemiah out of that city. And they're going to take him over here to this other location for a summit. We're going to have a get-together. Oh, you're doing a great work there, Nehemiah, while they were trying to do him mischief. You know, that's a risk that we all face in life when Satan does his work to try to deceive us, to keep us from doing what God wants us to do, to get the greener grass mentality, oh, there's got to be something better than what I'm doing right now. And Satan's putting a little carrot out in front of you on a stick. We have to be smarter than that. And God has said, you're not ignorant concerning the wiles of the devil. You know, and you can avoid them. And this is a wonderful story about that, true story about this very thing. Verse 5, Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the 5th time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Geshemu saith it. In other words, CNN says it. All right, Geshemu. All right, I don't know who Geshemu was, but I'm sure that he was a tell-all. He knew everything, and so Geshemu said it. We all know Geshemu would never tell us a lie. Now, if I'm saying that wrong, that's okay, because when you've got a disreputable news service like Geshemu, they deserve to have their name said wrong. All right, that thou and the Jews think to rebel. For which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king, according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. He probably thinks that we mean bad things to happen to Nehemiah. So we got to set his mind at ease. We just want to talk about the rumor that Gashmu has said is truth. You know, we've got the truth here. And we want to talk about this. So we don't have to report to the king something that you know, that you might be planning to do and give you second thoughts about it. All right? Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Puts a prayer in while he's writing this. Afterward I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetmabel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceive that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. What do we see here? Deception. Deception. Oh, you need to go hide yourself in the temple. What were they doing? Isolating him so they could go in and kill him. And Nehemiah said, I'm not going into the temple to hide. I have nothing to hide. Then he found out that he wasn't someone that was sent of God, but rather was sent of the devil. Verse 13, therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Now we learn about a lady prophet here. She's not mentioned anywhere else again in the Bible. She's just mentioned here. But he mentions her in his prayer because she was a problem. And we're gonna point this out, that many times, folks, deception comes from our quarters. Okay? The deception can come from people we know that we think are good people, and we come to find out that they're hired by somebody to spread evil. We've got to be wise, and we want to look at these things about the risk of being deceived. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd bless us now as we seek to understand your word, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The risk of being deceived. The enemies reappear in Nehemiah's life, and they have a brand new scheme. All right? And what is this scheme? Let's get together. You know how many times that's been used throughout the centuries? Let's just get together. Spanish Inquisition being one of them. Let's just get together and have a religious meeting. And the whole purpose was to get them out of hiding so they could kill them or take them captive. So let's get together, and let's do it not here locally. Let's do it in a faraway place. The plains of Ono come to my mind. I think that'd be a great place to meet. Now, let me just say this. It wasn't Camp David. All right? It wasn't Camp David that they were planning on having a meeting. In the plains of Ono, that was an area of the world outside of Jerusalem where the robbers and the thieves lived. All right? We have that story of the Good Samaritan and the thieves that came up and robbed that poor man and left him for dead. Well, the plains of Ono were known for that being a place where the thieves and the rebels and the robbers lived. So Nehemiah, let's go over there and let's have a meeting together. This was all deception and the possibility of doing evil to Nehemiah. Now, would you call this a risk? I think so. You know, folks, one of the great risks that you and I face is the risk of deception. The risk of deception, where the enemies of God come alongside and they put their arm around you and they say, now listen, brother, We need to talk. We need to talk. We've been divided too long. And I want to say something right now, and you may disagree with me, but there is no common ground with the Christian and Antifa and with these other rebellious rioting groups. There is no coming together. They have shown us that they will go to violence to destroy Christians. And in California right now, there are churches that the thumbscrews are being put on tight. And I'm thankful that these pastors are standing up. It's not easy to do that. But like several of them have said, listen, if we give in to this, we'll give in to anything. There is no reasonable conclusion here other than we want to oppress Christian groups because they're not oppressing any other groups. We got to see through it. Well, you're talking anarchy. No, we're not. We're talking reality. And we've got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And those pastors over there, they're being careful. They're being careful. But at the same time, they're not buckling their knees and bowing down to those that have no authority to just keep on trying to lock down churches. There has been no proof at all that there's been an increase in the virus from meeting in church and praying and singing. Now these rioters, there are no restrictions on them. Let them go. Let them do. Because the cause is greater than the COVID. I've heard that so many times. I want to barf. The cause is greater than the COVID. But you Christians, we don't want you singing. We don't want you praying. We don't want you meeting. Because your cause is not great. That's what it boils down to. Now we've got to be careful. Some of the politicians in California have extended the, we need to have a meeting in Sacramento. We want to hear what you preachers have to say because you're breaking all the medical doctors' advice by meeting together. But it's not a problem for the rioters and all those people to meet together in the streets. That's not a problem. What are we going to talk about? It's a ruse. It's a ruse to get them to step down and do what they want to do. So we have to be wise. We have to think biblically. I want to take you to Nehemiah's very wise actions that he took in all of this, and then we'll close in prayer. Number one. I want you to see that through all that we have read right here, you've seen a man with discernment. Does that happen by accident? All of a sudden, Nehemiah got discernment? No, he was a man that was practiced in getting wisdom, getting understanding, and not letting go of it like we read this morning. He was a man that could see right through it. He wasn't easily buffaloed by religious people. We read about Tobiah later on in the book of Nehemiah, who took up residence in the temple. He was a religious man. They were using part of the temple to store grain and so forth, so they cleaned all that out, and Tobiah made his apartment there in the temple. He had used deception to worm his way. One of his cousins worked in the temple. Now watch out, folks. Let me just say something here. Just because a person is your relative does not make them a saint. All my relatives are saints. They would never ever do anything that would be wrong-minded because we got the same blood flowing through us. Lord, help us if that's the case. Sometimes we let relatives dictate our actions rather than righteousness. That's a problem. We'll overlook sin in the family. That's family. We can't say anything about family. Why not? Anywhere in this book that says that family get a pass? No, it says that we're not to have any kind of preferential treatment. That we deal with sin wherever it rears its ugly head, and it doesn't matter whether it's in the family or it's outside the family. We do what's right. We follow after righteousness. But Tobiah was able to get one of his cousins to agree to let him move into the temple. Now, why did Tobiah all of a sudden want to live in the temple? Want to have an apartment there? Oh, it makes him look holy. It also gets him a foothold where he can listen in and find out what's going on. So he can go back to his cronies and tell them everything that was going on. We cannot allow our minds and our hearts to be diverted from righteousness and truth when it's a relative that's directing us another way. You can't do that. Some people are taught from the time they're children, we always take care of family. Family first. Well, I understand that. But if family's doing wrong, we're not going to follow along with it. We're going to do what's right. We're going to honor the Lord. Well, they won't invite me to a family reunion next year. We'll go somewhere else. Start your own family reunion. Hey, we're going to have one here. Invite them to come. Yeah. Listen, stop whining and stop worshiping the one that you have to do with, because you're going to have to spend all eternity with God. You don't necessarily have to spend all eternity with family. And that might be a blessing. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Those ones that, you haven't been calling me lately. Well, I tried to call the other day and you didn't answer your phone. Well, and they give you the guilt trip. You know, we're family. Family first. And they give you the guilt trip. Yeah, but everybody, and they're talking among you. Listen, don't get into that kind of mentality. Do what's right. Family's wonderful as long as family's doing right. Amen? Family's wonderful. But the worst thing this side of hell is trying to get along with family members that hate God. You just have to say, you know, I love you. I'm praying for you to be saved. But we're not going to be hanging out together. We're not going to be hanging out together if you're going to do wrong. If you want to do what's right, you want to come over with us. We have a policy in our house. And my dad had it too, that if you come visit our house, you go to church with us. That's a good policy. If you're going to come visit at our house, you're going to go to church with us, because that's what we do on the Lord's Day. We want you to come worship with us or come and be in the house. If you're not saved, you can hear the gospel. And some family members, well, I'm not going with them. I have to go to church. Well, that tells you what you need to know. You got a Tobiah. You got a Tobiah. Some people don't want to know the truth about family, because we got the same blood. You know, if we cut ourselves, we got the same color blood. I hate to tell you this, but we all bleed red. You got something special about your blood? Not really. We need to do right. He had discernment. Oh, that's a great thing. Verse 3. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. What did he put ahead of them? The summit. He put the work of the Lord first. You see that? He put God's work first. I can't stop and go down to meet with you folks. Well, how horrible a thought. They're offering a summit with you so we can all get together and we can talk out our differences. How dare you, you fundamentalist? Listen, I'll stand with Nehemiah any day of the week before we go compromising with a Tobias and all the other fellas there, that Arabian by the name of Geshem, and who knows what this other fellow was, Gashmu. CNN of old. He said it! Ooh. He said it. It must be true. Well, let's filter it through the truth-o-meter, and we find out that Gashmu didn't have his facts right, and that's what Nehemiah said. None of it's true. You feigned it in your mind. Discernment. Number two, avoidance of compromise with the enemy. Oh, we need backbone today, folks. Backbone. Not to compromise with the enemy. Verse 4, yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner each time. Nope, we're not coming down. No, I'm sorry. Number two, we're not coming down. Number three, no, I'm sorry. We're not coming down. We're not stopping the work. Number four comes along. I'm sorry. We're not going to go down there. And then number five shows up. And he's got a letter. And the dreaded letter has arrived. Yeah, we're hearing some things about what y'all are planning to do. You're planning to become king, Nehemiah. Can you imagine Nehemiah just laughing his head off? I cannot believe that this is the new story out there, that I'm going to be king. Nehemiah, that was the last thing he wanted, was to be king. You got enough trouble just being the representative of the king from another country, and he wants to be king of this one? I don't think so. He refused avoidance of compromise with the enemies. Number three, focus on doing right. You gotta get focused in. Have you ever used a pair of binoculars that would not focus? We had a pair growing up that you probably remember. I don't know what happened, but it got moisture inside of it, and you could never see out of it. Everything was a fog. And you'd put that thing, you'd clean it all up, and you'd look through it. It was just a fog on the other side. Now, that was an expensive pair of nothing. You couldn't see out of it. We tried to take it apart to see if we could get it cleaned up and never was able to do that very well. And it's like a scratched up pair of glasses. I cannot stand scratched up sunglasses. You put them on and there's all kinds of things that are there. And is that a tree limb? No, that's a scratch. What's that, a power line hanging right? No, that's a scratch. I mean, you see all kinds of things. And all you want to do is have protection from the sun, but they're all scraped up and scratched up. Let me just say this, folks. We've got to stay in focus when it comes to doing what's right. Notice, Nehemiah resisted the enemy's invitations four times and even a fifth time to let's meet. And then a sixth time, somebody else came along and said, hey, you need to go hide in the temple. They're coming to murder you. You got to get out of here. Hey, go lock yourself in the temple. Now, that's not getting out of here, is it? Go lock yourself up in the temple? You know, not even get out of the area and go to Ono. Let's stay here in the temple and we'll lock you in. Now, that means you've got the key. That means I'm going to die anyway. I'm not going to the temple. Focus on doing what's right every time, no matter how many times they try to get you to do what's wrong. You do what's right. And then the final one here. Rejection of religious overtones. Now this is where so many Christians fall right here. Somebody says something wonderful on Facebook, and it's coming out of somebody that's a rascal compromiser. I'm not going to give them credence. They may say something wonderful. You know the devil says things that are wonderful too? He comes as an angel of light, the Bible says, and says wonderful things, but I'm not going to quote the devil. Let me give you a quote today. I read you a quote from Mr. Howe this morning. I'm going to give you a quote tonight from Satan. He said something good. No, I'm not going to give him that. You don't give anything to the devil. And that means for his minions too. We got to be wise. We got to be careful that we don't give credence to somebody that's a lying, compromising rascal by sticking them out there on social media and saying, oh, they said something wonderful. You better find out where they're coming from first. They may be saying something wonderful and then the trap comes down. Even a rat, we have to tease them with cheese. How many of you like cheese? I like cheese. I see it as a waste to cut a piece of cheddar cheese and stick it down there on a rat thing because it's ruined. I could be eating that. But you have to put it on the rat trap to get the rat. You have to tease him. She's like, and the little whiskers start going, ooh, that looks good over there. Wham! That's how the devil works. He doesn't put Limburger cheese out there for you. He puts the best. I brought up cheddar cheese because I love cheddar cheese. That's good stuff. Religious overtones. Oh, they're so alluring. They're so alluring. Oh, it sounds plausible. And afterward I came, verse 10, unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabeel, who was shut up, and he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee." And I said, "Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Religious over, paid religious messages. This message was paid for by Tobias. Don't you love the political ads? This message was paid for by such and such, you know. And they're throwing out all kinds of stuff that's not true. They're not going to be able to do it. They're just kind of, they're putting the cheese out there for you. Let me tell you something. The devil wants every one of you in Grace Bible Church. Every child, every adult, every teenager. He wants all of us. And he knows how to do it. He knows how to appeal to us. And he will use religious overtones to draw your heart in for the kill. And you got to have discernment. Say, "Oh, wait a minute. That's the old devil at work. Satan, Beelzebub, Apollyon." Well, we could go down the list of all the names that have been given to him throughout the years. He hates Christ and he hates Christians. And you better get wise up about it. Think smart when it comes. There are risks of deception. And you got to be smart, by God's grace, to not fall for the ploys of the devil. Do I hear an amen? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for Nehemiah chapter 6. There's so much in this passage. We have more to share. So much in this passage that tells us and teaches us about this matter of risk and managing risk. But Lord, we need wisdom and understanding. If we don't have wisdom and understanding, then we're going into the battle without the tools of fighting that we need. I pray that you'd work in our hearts, work in the hearts and lives of all of us here tonight, that we might see and understand how the devil works and how we can manage the risk of deception by having discernment, by focusing on what's right and what's good, and by doing what's right all the time. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.